We're lucky to have with us WTTW reporter Heather Sharone. Hi, Heather. How are you?
Hi, Dee. I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
I know that you're so busy, so I'm so glad that you're with us this evening. Thank you. I want to get right to this because this kind of just sort of happened earlier this afternoon. The city released the body cam video from the night former police superintendent Eddie Johnson was found asleep at the wheel. I guess the investigation's over, so they felt like they could release the video.
I guess so. It's not clear to me because we still don't have the Inspector General's report. Mm-hmm. And that will really determine whether any additional discipline for any other officers involved is recommended. And so there's still a lot that we don't know about this, even though it feels like this happened approximately a decade ago.
It does. It really does. But do you remember, Heather, when it first happened? It was so surprisingly quiet. Like, it really, like, you know, we heard about it and everybody was sort of like, that seems just odd. But, like, no right. one really made a big deal about it.
Well, it sort of happened in slow motion because, you know, one day Eddie Johnson said, well, I'm thinking about retiring. And then the next day, you know, we learned that this had happened. And then he announced that he would retire. And there was a big ceremony that Mayor Lori Lightfoot participated in. And then she fired him, saying that he had lied to her. So it was sort of this rolling sort of thing. And there were so many rumors about this video and sort of what exactly took place. And you know, if you haven't seen the video, it's only, you know, a couple mm-hmm. of minutes. It's worth your time. So we see an officer walk up to the window, and Eddie Johnson appears to be asleep with his eyes closed. And you hear the officer sort of knock on the window and say, are you okay, sir? Are you okay? And then the former superintendent shows his ID, and then he is allowed to drive away. So we don't see a field sobriety test administered. And I think it raises a lot of questions about why, and this is the question, honestly, I've had from the beginning, is, you know, why wasn't there a sobriety test performed? Why was he allowed to continue to drive home? Because if he was so ill or otherwise incapacitated that he fell asleep at a stop sign, you know, that's probably somebody who shouldn't be operating a motor vehicle. So I think there are still a lot of questions that remain, but I want to give a big shout out to the Better Government Association that sued the city mm-hmm. to force this tape to be released, and all of Chicago is grateful.
So a lot more is going to be revealed, I'm guessing, in the coming weeks.
Well, we don't know because Inspector General reports don't become public unless there's a finding. Oh. So it's unclear as to whether or not we will get any more information, frankly, even though Mayor Lightfoot has made it sort of a big focus of her administration to sort of increase transparency. Mm-hmm. And she actually pushed through an ordinance several months ago that expanded the Inspector General's ability to release reports where there's a lot of interest from the public. However, you know, that's not sort of a required thing. It's more of a voluntary thing. So, I certainly hope we get to see the full report, but I'm a journalist. Mm-hmm. I will admit bias on that we should see all of the reports.
You want to see everything.
Right. Just send it over.
And you know what? We're glad that you do, because that's how you keep government and, everyone honest. So we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Speaking of, reports, you just recently had one come out talking about how there were 371 complaints lodged about Chicago police response to the protest in terms of excessive force. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So 56% of those 371 complaints were excessive force. About another quarter of those were improper searches. So what really struck me about that data was that, two things. One, 60% of those complaints where they identified a location of the incident were in 6 North Side or downtown police districts. Mm-hmm. So these complaints were by and large not filed in the neighborhoods where there was the most extensive unrest, damage, and looting. And the other thing that struck me was that the number of complaints really peaked on June 4th. And I know it seems like, how can I remember a month ago? What are you talking about? But that was really once the unrest had stopped, mm-hmm. and it was really sort of peaceful protest after peaceful protest. And that's really where the bulk of these complaints came in. So it will be interesting to see how many of these complaints are sustained, if any, or if there's any sort of recommendation in terms of policy changes or anything that comes out of it. But it does provide, I think, a snapshot of sort of how people felt they were treated by the Chicago Police Department on a very, really tense week.
Mm-hmm. And were these complaints, I mean, the ones that are 56% for excessive force, that would have been a peaceful protester, right?
Well, we're not sure. We don't have any information about the complaints themselves. Mm-hmm. Those complaints are private until they are otherwise sort of adjudicated, for lack of a better term. So we do know, however, that one of those excessive force complaints was filed by Jeanne Foreman, who is the president of the Chicago Police Board.
I know, shocking. Shocking.
Right.
I couldn't believe
right.
it when I you know, heard your report. I was like, are you kidding me?
Right. So he says that he was struck at least 5 times during a protest in Hyde Park, and he filed an excessive force complaint about the officer who he said struck him. So, again, they couldn't tell me anything more about that complaint, but they say they will investigate each complaint to the fullest extent possible. But I think it does go to show that there are real questions about how the police department responded to the protests, both the ones that were violent at times and the ones that were not.
Okay. And of course, you know, in terms of the locations of where a lot of these complaints came up to, that kind of raises your eyebrow, too.
It does, because are we only seeing complaints from people who are perhaps white and wealthier because they live in white and wealthier areas of the neighborhood, so they're more aware of their rights and they're more aware of how to file a complaint? I think that disparity, I think, is something that we should think about a lot, because, you know, I don't know that there's anything to suggest that police, you know, committed more infractions in one area of the city than the other. But when you see that sort of disparity about the number of complaints, I think it's worth raising an eyebrow at.
Well, something else that you're also watching is that Mayor Lori Lightfoot's emergency powers end soon, right?
That's right. So back in April, the mayor asked the city council for the power to essentially spend up to $1 million at a time to respond to the pandemic. And she said she needed to do that without coming back to the city council, mm-hmm. which can take a little while because, you know, the city needed to buy masks and personal protective gear and gowns and all sorts of different things. And she got a significant amount of pushback from the city council. So she agreed that the ordinance would end on June 30th, unless the commissioner of the Department of Public Health determined that the pandemic was still at an acute stage. And it is no longer at an acute stage, so it will expire tomorrow.
Okay. And of course, those city council meetings have been very heated, as we've known from leaked audio.
Yes, yes. Well, those were just briefings. The city council, both city council meetings also got very tense at times, especially over the debate over these emergency powers, because there were several aldermen who were concerned that the mayor would use mm-hmm. this authority sort of improperly or without adequate oversight. But the documented spending seems to really have stopped about mid-May, which is, we can sort of look back and see that that's really when the pandemic peaked in Chicago and Illinois. So that makes a lot of sense.
So, of course, now I'm imagining that city officials are even more tense, especially with the increase of violence and the loss of, you know, such young, innocent lives as well, on top of, you know, the pandemic. And then, of course, yeah. all the civil unrest and protests. What's the feeling like, the atmosphere right now?
So we heard the mayor and the police superintendent say that they would have 1,200 more police officers on the street this weekend, which, of course, is the 4th of July holiday weekend. That is not unusual. That is a very typical response for the Chicago Police Department in years past under Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who would cancel overtime and would keep officers sort of, you know, to increase the number of officers on the streets. So it will be really interesting to see whether that helps and whether the violence trends downward a little bit. But, we heard the mayor say today that she wakes up sort of every Monday, with a pit in her stomach, mm-hmm. worried about sort of the violence that has been seen over the weekend. And not only is it really an appalling lack of, protection for Chicago residents, it also presents a serious, political problem for her as well, because, the first duty of any elected official in any city is to reduce crime, and she certainly promised to do so when she was elected more than a year ago.
Well, Heather, we can't thank you enough for joining us and filling us in with everything that's going on. And Heather Sharone, WTTW reporter. And by the way, she's loved news since she was in high school as the editor-in-chief of the school newspaper at Kenwood Academy. You just don't get tired of this, right?
I do not. I like to say that I am a longtime political nerd who has loved Chicago politics for longer than I should probably admit in polite company at this point.
You are Chicago through and through. Oh my goodness. Wow. You live, eat and breathe this. So we're grateful. Yes. I'm grateful that you do. Thank you so much.
Happy to do it. Thanks, G.
Thank you.